verse here is entitled "The Obligation to Respect the Wife of a Torah Scholar or a Talmidat Chacham." The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Tet Amud Aleph, says, "Amar Shmuel, Eshet Chaver, Harehi Kechaver." Shmuel said that the wife of a Torah scholar is considered to be like the Torah scholar himself. The Gemara in Baba Batra, Daf Ayin Hey Amud Aleph, says, "Ein chaverim ela tamid chachamim." When it says the word chaver, it refers generally to those who are Torah scholars. It is true that the Gemara in Avodah Zarah is specifically discussing an issue of ne'amanut, of credibility, in the sense that just like a chaver is someone we know formally who has taken upon himself the fact beyond an amaretz, of someone who is familiar with the laws of Truma and Maser and so on, and thereby a person can have faith that he has correctly attended to his needs in terms of the halachas of food so that a person can eat from them. And consequently, we are told, Eshet Chaver Kechaver, just like a Chaver would have that credibility, so too the wife of the Chaver would have that credibility. But it goes beyond an issue of the credibility that is given to the woman, and also goes to the notion of respect that is required to be given to that woman. And that is seen in the Gemara in Shavuos, Daf Lamed Amud Bet. There it says, "Bitehu de Rav Huna Havela Dina Kame de Rav Nachman." The wife of Rahuna came before Rav Nachman for a court case. And Rashi points out that this was even after the death of Rahuna. Amar Heche Navid, Yiku Mekama Mistamaman Tanata Debaldina, Lo Yiku Mekama Eshet Chaver Harehi Kechaver. Rav Nachman had a quandary about what to do in this particular situation, because if he would stand up for the wife of Rav Huna, so then it would be like she was showing favoritism toward one of the litigants over the other litigant, and this would cause the other litigant to thereby not properly be able to present his case, seeing that the judge was already in favor of the other litigant. On the other hand, Eshet Chaver Kechaver, he felt he had to show respect for the wife of the Torah scholar, like he would the Torah scholar himself, by standing up. Amar le l'shame tsev efrach alai bar avza b'shadei ilave v'ikum. So he therefore advised his assistant to throw a goose at him, and when the goose flew at him, he would thereby stand up as if to avoid the goose, and at the same time it would appear that he was standing up for the Eshet Chaver, and yet to the litigant who was not the Eshet Chaver, he would just think that he was standing up because the goose was being thrown at him. So you see, to the degree that Rav Nachman felt he had to go in order to show this notion of Eshet Chaver Kechaver, of respecting the wife of a Torah scholar by standing up for her, in that he even went through this whole charade of getting someone to ridiculously throw this animal at him so he would be able to stand up and do so in such a way that he would yet fulfill his obligation toward the wife of the Chaver and also not overstep his bounds in terms of the judge by creating a situation where the other litigant would not be able to present his case properly. The question is, and Soloveitchik talks about this in his Shirim on Shavuot to Daf Lamed, is this respect due to the wife of the Torah scholar because of the respect due to her herself, or is it really respect to the Torah scholar to stand for his wife? It's not the obligation to respect the wife herself, it's respect to the Torah scholar to stand up for his wife. Again, the Naftamina might be, you would have thought, after the Torah scholars away, so would you still have to stand up for her? You might think that it indicates, from what we've seen, that if you have to even stand up for her after the Torah scholar has passed on, it shows that the respect due to her is due to her own importance and significance, not due to his, because he has passed away. But actually, the discussion among the Achronim says that you have to respect the Torah scholar even after he has passed away. So consequently, showing respect for the widow of a Torah scholar is in fact still showing respect for the Torah scholar himself, and does not indicate that it is an obligation to show respect for the Torah scholar's wife in and of herself. Now, before we go on with the notion of the respect due to the Eshet Chaver is like the respect shown to the Chaver himself, we have to know what are the halachas governing the respect to the Chaver. What are the halachas that are obligatory upon a person to show to a Torah scholar? And to show this, we are going to look at the Rambam, Hilchot Talmud Torah, in Perek Hey, Halachas Aleph, Hey to Zion, and Tet. The Rambam has a whole listing. We're just going to see some of them for our purposes. The Rambam says in Halacha Aleph, Kishem Shadam Mitzuveh B'kavod Aviv, just like a person is commanded in respect to his father, Yirato, in regards to fear of that person as well, Kach Uchaya B'kavod Rabo, Yirato, Yeter Me'aviv. So too is he obligated with respect to his father, so too with his the Torah scholar, even more so. Sha'aviv mebiyo l'chayel amazeh, v'rabo shilimdo chachma mebiyo l'chayel amaba. Because while one's father brings one to this world, which we know is fleeting, a Torah scholar, one's own particular Rebbe, in fact, as we are discussing here, brings one to the world to come, to eternal life. To such a degree, the Rambam says, Ra'avidat aviv, avidat rabo, if you see a lost object of your Rebbe or of your father, you have to return first the object to your Rebbe. Aviv Rabo Nosiim B'Masa Meniach Et Shel Rabo V'Yacharkach Shel Aviv. If your father and your Rebbe are both carrying a heavy load, first you have to help the Rebbe and then you can help your father. Aviv Rabo Shivuyim B'Shivya. If your Rebbe and your father are captured, Podet Rabo V'Yacharkach Podet Aviv. First you redeem the Rebbe, and only afterwards do you redeem your father. The only exception the Rambam says is if your father was also a Torah scholar, so he had both milas of being a Torah scholar and also being your father, bring you to this world and also bring you to the world to come. So in that situation, then you would show preference to your father over your Rebbe. V'ein lecha kavod gadol mikavod harav. The Rambam says there is no greater respect than the respect that should be afforded to your rabbi. V'lo more mimore harav. No greater awe and fear that should be shown to any individual than to your Rebbe. Amru Chachamim Amore Rabach Kemore Shamayim. The Chachamim said that the fear of your Rebbe has to be like the fear you have of heaven. Lefichach Amru, therefore they have said, Kol HaCholek Al Rabo KeCholek Al HaShchina. And therefore, the Chachamim have said, and they bring various proof texts to this, from Moshe Rabbeinu being attacked in the Midbar, where it says consistently that you're not only attacking Moshe Rabbeinu, but you're attacking God Himself. From this we see that an attack upon one's Rebbe is an attack upon God Himself, and so many people we know are careful about so many minutiae of halacha, but this particular issue they do not recognize, and they do not want to recognize the great respect that is due to a Torah scholar. The Rambam ends by saying, and whoever shows respect and proper thoughts for the Rebbe, that person is as if he is considering having those thoughts and respect for the Ribbono Shel Olam as well. Indeed, we know that the Gemara at the end of Makot says, "Kama tipshi sharin she ya'omdim bifnei sefer Torah, v'lo omdim bifnei gavra rabba." How foolish are so many people who stand up for a Torah scroll, but do not stand up for a Torah scholar. And after all, a Torah scholar is, in effect, a living sefer Torah, and yet people do not know this. The Rambam continues to show what respect must be given to a Torah scholar, specifically by listing the halachas as follows. Halacha Hey, he says, Asur lo l'talmid likrot l'rabo bishmo. A person is not allowed to call his Rebbe, his rabbi, by his first name. Again, we're just going through some of these halachas quickly. In halacha Vav, the Rambam says, "V'lo yistor et devarav." You are not allowed to contradict your rabbi. And then he says, in halacha Zayin, as we just indicated, "V'chayav la'amod mipnei rabo." You have to stand up before a Torah scholar. And in halacha Tet, he says, Ra'a rabo over al divrei Torah omer lo v'matenu rabenu kach v'kach. And if a person sees that his Rebbe, it seems to him, has violated some law of the Torah, he spoke Lashon Hara, whatever it is, so there, of course, it's not just that you let that go. You are allowed to confront your rabbi on this. However, even this you have to do in a respectful way by saying to him, Rebbe, did you not teach us the following, that one should not do the following thing? And in that way the person is showing respect for his teacher even as he is delivering admonishment to him. By the way, these are the same halachas that apply to respect to one's parents. And furthermore, I might suggest that this is a proper thing to do, especially this last thing, when trying to correct someone with reference to any person, and instead of attacking him directly and forthright, by softening it and saying, you know, you've taught me so many things, I know you've told me the following many times, I'm just wondering why you did this then. And certainly that will help one to ultimately give proper tochacha to that individual. It says, Ukishiyamud Rabo, the Rambam goes on, Korea kol bigadav, achimigala et libo, veino ma'acha liolam. Furthermore, says the Rambam, when your rabbi passes away, you are required to tear your garments, just like if you have lost a relative. In fact, you are required to do it in the same sense of the most intense mourning and kriya, that is to say, for one's parents, where you tear on the left side over the heart and not on the right side, and as well where you cannot fix that tear forever, just like by parents as opposed to tearing for other relatives where you can fix the garment. This is the respect that is required for your Rebbe, again, just like your parent, and as we saw, beyond the respect due for your parent. The Rambam says, in concluding in Halacha Tet, "B'medvar mamurim b'rabo mufak, shelamad mimenu rov chachmato." Who are we speaking about when we say a person's Rebbe or Rabbi? We are talking about a person from whom a person has learned most of his Torah knowledge. That individual is considered to be one's Rebbe or one's Rabbi, where these halachas are relevant. This does not mean that you do not have to have respect and hidur for all Torah scholars. You do, the Rambam says, in other halachas, but there are some differences. For example, let us say, with reference to standing up for a Torah scholar, you're required to stand up for a Torah scholar already only when he comes within Dalet Amot, within your particular range, if you will, of about 8 feet or so, then you have to stand up for him. While if the person is your Rebbe, then you have to stand up even if the person is far away, once you see him in your line of vision, you are required to stand up even then. By a Torah scholar, once he passes you, you can sit down. By your own Rebbe, it's required to remain standing until he finds his place. So there are differences, but basically the main thought we are expressing, there are laws relevant to a Torah scholar, be it your Rebbe, be it an individual Torah scholar, even if that person is not your particular teacher, and that these halachas are also relevant, as we saw from Rav Nachman's respect for the wife of Rav Huna, even after her husband had passed away, that this includes standing and doing other means of hidur and respect that are due to the Torah scholar, and therefore so too to his wife. In fact, Lemaisa, this is what people do, or should do. I saw a story brought down in the Sefer Read and Remember, which tells of Rav Baruch Ber Leibowitz, his wife, the great Talmid of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, who was always concerned about her husband and his health, because he used to give his food away to the poor and not eat very much. And so she came to the Chavetz Chaim to ask him how she could better take care of his health. And when she arrived, the Chavetz Chaim was sitting with some students, and when someone said she was the wife of a Baruch Ber, so he said, Eshet Chaver Kechaver, the wife of a Torah scholar is like a Torah scholar. And he stood up, and all the students stood up, and a Baruch Ber's wife was so embarrassed that she ran out of the building. But again, you see that this is the halacha. So too, I saw a story of the Chazon Ish. So he too stood up for the wife of a Torah scholar. This is therefore, I'm saying, halacha l'maisa, that people may not be so careful about, but that they should be careful about. The Shulchan Aruch says, this is in Yerodea, Shin Mem Dalid, Yud Tet Kaf, Maspidin Talmidei Chachamim V'Nishotehen V'Beit HaKnesset V'Beit HaMidrash Avalo Sha'ara'am. Shulchan Aruch says that we are allowed to eulogize Torah scholars and their wives in the study halls or in the synagogues, but not anyone else. Obviously this is due to Kavod HaTorah. And then, in Halacha Kaf, it says in Shulchan Aruch, Chacham v'aluf v'gaon, and indeed a great Torah scholar who is a great genius, machnisin oto lebeit hamidrash, we bring him into the study hall, umeinichin hamitab makom shaya doresh, and we put the casket in the place where he used to speak, v'softim oto sham, and we eulogize him there. Ukeshemotim hamita, and then when we take out the casket, Sofdim oto ad beit akvarot, we continue to eulogize him all the way to the cemetery. Uvayom azayin olim lebeit akvarot umivakrim oto. And on the seventh day, all should go out to the cemetery and visit him. V'chein b'yom shloshim, and so too on the 30th day. V'tachli t'yud bet chodesh, mevakrim u'mashkivin oto. And at the end of 12 months, then we all go out and visit him, and visit the grave, and also say memorials to him. We see in this halacha, therefore, that certainly in regards to the Torah scholars' wives, so too, as we saw in Halacha Yitzet, just like the Torah scholar can be eulogized in the synagogue in Beis Medrash, so too is the Torah scholar's wife. It says in the next halacha that only the great genius of a Torah scholar has certain things brought, certain things done, including the eulogies continuing to the cemetery, including his being visited there by the community on the significant days of his mourning period. But otherwise, it would seem quite clear that a woman can be eulogized, and that can be done in the synagogue and the Beis Medrash, just like the Torah scholar himself, if she is an Eishes Chaver. However, in Halichot Bat Yisrael, Daf Kuf Nun, I saw something very interesting. There it says, "Kishem shemaspidim et ha'ish," just like we eulogize a man, "maspidim et ha'isha k'ra'uila," so too do we eulogize a woman. "V'yeshet chaver," and the wife of a Torah scholar, "maspidim af b'toch beit ha'kneset al beit ha'midrash." We eulogize her, be it in the synagogue, be it in the study hall, as we saw in the Shulchan Aruch. And then he adds the following, "aval ein machnisim et hamita litocham." However, and this Sefer, if you recall, is a book, Halichot Bat Yisrael, generally about the halachas concerning women, we do not bring the body into the synagogue or the study hall. Now, when I saw this initially, I said, this is ridiculous. What do you mean? We just saw up above in Shulchan Aruch that just like the Torah scholar, you can eulogize in the synagogue and the Beit Midrash, that so too, the Torah scholar's wife, you can eulogize in the synagogue and the Beit Midrash. There's no difference. And therefore, I read this halacha saying, however, as it came after the notion of the Yeshet Chaver to Chaver, that you could eulogize her in the synagogue and study hall just like her husband. Therefore, what it said, but you can't bring the body into those holy places. I was up in arms. I said, what is that supposed to mean? You can bring the man, the actual Talmud Chacham, into such places, but you can't bring the wife of the Torah scholar into such places. Where do you see such a distinction? In fact, we saw the halachas are the same. But then I looked at the footnote, who sends us to the Heart Tzvi, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank in Yeridea, Simen Reish Samech Vav, in his Shilas and Tshuvas. So there, he, very interestingly, discusses this idea that there is no doubt, he says after some discussion, that you are allowed to eulogize the wife of a Torah scholar in the synagogue and the Beis Medrash, just like the Torah scholar himself. However, he says, you cannot bring the body into such places. Why can't you bring the body into such places? He's medayik in the Shulchan Aruch that I just read. The Shulchan Aruch, which I did not pay sufficient attention to, I don't think, as you'll see later, it necessarily has to be read this way, but the first halacha you saw, you recall, says, we eulogize a Torah scholar and his wife in the synagogue and the Beis Medrash, but not everyone else. So the Har Tzvi is medayik that it says you eulogize. It does not say you bring the body in. And the Raya, in fact, he says, is clear by the next halacha that we quoted. It said it, but a great Torah genius, machnisin oto lebeit ha-midrash, that person you even bring his body into the Beis Medrash and the Beis HaKnesses. But it did not say you do that by a wife of a Torah scholar, and in fact, it does not say that you do that for a Torah scholar. It has nothing to do with it being a woman. A Torah scholar and his wife, it said in the halacha previously, they you can eulogize in the synagogue. But the bodies have to stay outside in the hall or near the Beis Medrash and the synagogue. It's only this aluf, chacham, the gaon, this great, great genius of a Torah scholar, that you are allowed to actually bring the body into such places for. That is clear, says the Har Tzvi, from this reading of the Shulchan Aruch. Rav Soloveitchik, it's brought down in Nefesh HaRav, Daf Resh Mem Zayin, discusses the following. He says, quoting the Shulchan Aruch as we do, that Shemati, says Rosh Hashanah, Shehora Rabbeinu, Shiaf Yeshet Chaver, Sheniftara, Lachar Kama Shanim, Mishikavar Niftar Bala, Meachar Shemavuar, Begamar Shavuot, Shedin Yeshet Chaver Kechaver, Noeg Afilu Lachar Shikavar Made Bala. Hachinami Mutar La Spida Bebate Knesset Bate Midrashot, Kemosha Yuosim Ilu Hayabala Adayin Chai. Rav Soloveitchik, confirming what we saw in the Gemara Shavua, says that even after Many years have passed. Imagine, let's say, you have the wife of a Torah scholar. The Torah scholar, God forbid, passes away when he's 30 years old. And then the woman, the wife of the Torah scholar, let's say, just for argument's sake, because there's a question if she would marry someone else who's not a Torah scholar, then most would say the halachas no longer apply. But let's say she remains a widow. And she dies at age 90. 60 years later, she dies at age 90. Would you say that you're going to bring her body into the synagogue to eulogize this woman whose husband died 60 years ago? That's when he was the rabbi, 60 years ago. You might have said that now you don't bring the body in. Come on. I mean, there's some statute of limitations here. How far do you go? But Soloveitchik said no. The halacha is due to that woman. She continues to be an Eshet Chaver throughout her lifetime and even after death, and thereby she can be eulogized in the synagogue or the Beis Medrash. Still, though, we have the question of the Har Tzvi. Can you bring the body, as we know is often done, of a rabbi and, as we are focusing upon, the wife of a Torah scholar into the synagogue or Beis Medrash? In the Tshuvas van Hagos, the Shilas and Tshuvas of Rav Stornbach, Chelek Aleph, Simen Tafresh Pechet, he is asked a question about bringing the body into the synagogue or the Beis Medrash, specifically that question. And he brings down the fact that the Gra, for example, was brought into his Beis Medrash, but as we've seen, you're allowed to do it for a great, great Torah scholar. However, he brings down the Maram Shik, who says that he's very strict on this in terms of proper respect for the shul, the Beis HaMedrash, because we do not have a Torah scholar Bizman Hazeh. We do not have, really, as the Shach says, I recall, the level of Torah scholarship that we had in previous generations. Omnam, says Rav Stornbach, Hayom Nagu Lahakil, Eltsil Talmid Chacham Gadol V'Rab. We are lenient in regards to a great Torah scholar or a teacher in a yeshiva. V'tam Nira Sha'az Batei Knesset Midrashot Miyuchadim Ayu L'Kodesh L'Vad L'Torah Tfila. Because then, he points out, it was the way that people were very careful about their behavior in a Beis Medrash or in a synagogue. Aval hayom b'avonoteinu rabim, in Tanai or afilu b'litanai, whether people make a condition on the building of a shul which allows you in Chutz Laretz to do other things like even social events, as long as they're not degrading to the synagogue within its confines, or even without a Tanai, when it's being treated totally as a synagogue. He says, Dino, Kitanai, still today, it's considered to be like you've made a condition. And you can eat and drink in the synagogue when some do in certain scenarios. And people are not careful about disgracing a synagogue. And of course, you know, there's talking in a synagogue that goes on and so on, unfortunately. So Stormbach says, Minala lahachmir davka b'achnasat niftar talmud chacham b'harbot b'kach kabod atavra. Therefore, are we going to be strict? Here we have a minhag of Klal Yisrael to bring in Torah scholars and their wives, let us say, to the synagogue. And we do so in order to show respect for the Torah. And there's so many other things we do that are disrespectful to the Torah and the shul. So dafka, we're going to be machmir on this and not bring in Torah scholars and their wives. So he says that no. And even if you say there is no Torah scholar in our time, Kevan Shemechabdin Oto Ketamad Chacham Yesh Bazeh Kavod HaTorah, since he is respected like a Torah scholar, even if he isn't really one, if you want to go with that view that there aren't Torah scholars in our time, still, he is treated like a Torah scholar, so he is, and his wife is considered to be, a Torah scholar and an Eshet Chaver. I say this to people sometimes, someone will ask me, you know, Rabbi Bach, you really consider yourself a Talmud Chacham, a Torah scholar? I said, listen, I don't consider myself a Torah scholar, especially those of us who know what a real Torah scholar is in terms of our Rebbeim. Rav Soloveitchik was a Torah scholar. Our Rosh Yeshiva were great Torah scholars. But nonetheless, since my community sees me as a Torah scholar, so consequently, So the halachas of Torah scholars apparently apply to me as well. Just like Rav Moshe, in his great humility at the beginning of the Igros Moshe, says that really he feels he's not fit to answer shailas of halacha. Who is he to answer such shailas? But since Klal Yisrael sees his fitness in answering such shailas, so they need him to answer. They have no one else to go to. So he will answer, and if they like what he says, then they are allowed to follow it. Each of us who do not consider ourselves great Torah scholars and know that we are not, nonetheless, we understand that what is being shown to us, if people stand up when we walk in the room or follow the halachas that we have put forth and discussed that are in the Rambam about ourselves being treated with certain respect, so we can understand that even though we are not on that madrega of our Rebbeim, still because people see us as playing that role, that we should understand this is Kavanat Torah in and of itself, and I believe we should allow those items of respect that halacha demands to be carried out properly, as Rav Shornbach says, is carried out for Torah scholars today and their wives, even if you might argue they are not at the level of previous generations. The Aruch HaShulchan, Yoredeya, again, Shin Mem Dalet, Seif Yud Bet, says as follows: Lo kol ha-meitim machnisim le-beit ha-kneset. We do not bring all those who have died into the synagogue or the Beit HaMidrash la-haspido in order to eulogize him. Ela tamidei chachamim v'nishotehem. We only bring in Torah scholars and their wives. So you see from this that it says clearly in the Aruch HaShulchan, not like the Hartzvi. And my original reading, if you recall, when I read the Shulchan Aruch, the eulogized Torah scholars and their wives in the synagogue in the Beis Medrash. And then it says, a great Torah scholar, we bring him into the Beis Medrash. And furthermore, it said, we say eulogies all the way to the cemetery, and we then visit him at the cemetery on particular significant days. And I read it that this extra notion of the continuing of the eulogies and the visiting of the cemetery by the whole community, this is what makes the great, great genius of a Torah scholar different than the regular Torah scholar and his wife. We said that the Hartzvi said, no, don't you look at the language of it and see what it says? It says we eulogize Torah scholars and their wives in those places. But we only bring the body in if it's a great, great Torah scholar. He made that distinction. But you see, the Aruch HaShulchan, I'm pointing out, does not make that distinction. He says clearly that you bring the body in and eulogize Torah scholars and their wives in these places of holiness. And then he adds, as we were medayik, that if it's a great genius of a Torah scholar, that he actually, beyond that, you do other things in terms of, as we said, eulogizing him continuously and visiting him at the grave as well on certain occasions. Now, it's fascinating that the Rambam says in Hilchot Tfila, Yud Aleph Zayin, the following: Ein maspidin bahen. You are not allowed to eulogize in synagogues or bate medrash. Ela hesped shel rabim. Unless it's a eulogy of the masses. Kigon, like, sheyiye sham hesped gedolei chachmei ota ir. If there should be a need to eulogize the scholars of that particular city, shekol ha'am mitkabsin ubain biglalan, where all the community is going to come and gather because of them. What is the Rambam saying? It seems clear to me that the Rambam has a different shita than has been put forth, as we seem to see from the Gemara, and as we saw from the Shulchan Aruch, and I believe Mefarshim quote the Yerushalmi and others as the Rambam's source. The Rambam says that you are allowed to have a eulogy in the synagogue based Medrash having nothing to do with the issue of the Torah scholarship of the individual and of his wife therefore being connected to that Torah scholarship. The Rambam's theory is that you are allowed to use such holy places for eulogies of such individuals. Why? Merely because of a practical reason. He says, because you need a big space in order to accommodate all the people who are going to be coming for the eulogy. Consequently, it would seem to me that if you had an individual who was going to be eulogized, and you knew that that individual, let's say, was a great philanthropist, or a great leader in the congregation or the community, and you were going to have, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people coming to the funeral, and it couldn't be held in the funeral home for that reason, or anywhere else, it couldn't be held properly, according to the Rambam, you would be able to hold it in a synagogue or a Beis Medrash. Because those are, I presume he's saying, generally large spaces where, because of the need of the rabbin, you'd be allowed to hold such ceremonies and such gatherings. And the rabbin says, you see, kagon, he gives the example of Torah scholars as the situation where you would need to use such holy places for eulogies. But he doesn't say that it's only that. He says that's just an example. But you could have other reasons to do so as well. I would not say that if the individual obviously was a Rasha, who wasn't Shomer Mitzvahs, that person, according to anyone, could be eulogized in such scenarios. However, I'm saying if the person is not a Torah scholar and yet he is a righteous person, then, according to the Rambam, you could honor him there. And by the way, I am familiar with the fact that Rav Soloveitchik, and this has been told to us by Rav Shechter, Rav Soloveitchik said, as Rav Sternbach indicated, that the purpose of a shul is only for Torah and Tefillah and for really nothing else. Thereby, Rav Soloveitchik was generally against weddings being held in a shul, if they could be held in other places. Thereby, Rav Soloveitchik was even against a bris being held in a shul. Incredibly, as we know, what bris isn't held in a shul? Almost all bris are held in shuls, unless they're held maybe in a home due to some particular need. We all think it's a mitzvah to have the shul right after davening is the reason matim and mitzvot in the synagogue proper. Rav Soloveitchik explained it's not so, that really even a bris, you're doing a mitzvah, not davening and not learning Torah, that mitzvah should be done outside the synagogue, and he said that that's sometimes how it was done. However, because it was sarfei rabim, because it was a tircha for the people after davening to then have to all move to another place in order to do the bris, so that's why there's a het there to do the bris in shul, because it goes exactly in accordance with, now I see what the Rambam says, that letzarchei rabim, for the sake of rabim, we're going to be coming there. That you're allowed to use the shul and a beis medrash for this particular purpose. So too, the Rambam indicates that you are allowed to do it for that. I'm saying Rav Soloveitchik says you're allowed to do it as well for these particular mitzvahs. But again, this is the Rambam Shita, which would allow for a great group of people coming to thereby have the synagogue of Beis Medrash used for this purpose. Now, a nafkamina would be, for example, it seems to me, that let's say you have a Torah scholar, who according to everyone is a genuine Torah scholar. But it so happens, and this would go by such a woman who's married to the Torah scholar as well, let's say that this Torah scholar did have a great following. Let's say he had a little shtiebel. According to everyone, he was a great Torah scholar. He wrote books, but he had a very small following. So according to the Rambam, since a lot of people, let's say, would not be coming to the Levaya, you could not have, it seems to me, that eulogy and that funeral in the synagogue. The heter is only because you need a large space to accommodate. And therefore, the tzarchei rabim, that's the heter, to use a shul or a beis medrash. But if you're going to have a small crowd, then even for a Torah scholar, because the issue is not the fact that you are aligning Torah scholarship with a place which is devoted to Torah, according to the Rambam. That's not the issue. You're only allowed to do it because it's Tzarchei Rabim. This is not Tzarchei Rabim, it seems to me, would thereby not be allowed. But we have seen, generally speaking, therefore, that the respect due to a Torah scholar is to be mirrored in the respect shown to the wife of a Torah scholar, and even unto death and beyond, there is respect that is obligated for such a woman, even to the point of having her eulogy take place, as we saw of Yeruch HaShulchan, having her body brought into the actual synagogue of Beis Medrash. Let us conclude with another source in Halichot Bat Yisrael, Daf Kuf Kaf Dalet to Kuf Kaf Hey. Do you have to stand up for a woman who is a Torah scholar, not the wife of a Torah scholar, but the woman who is a Torah scholar in and of herself? It could be that the wife of a Torah scholar is also a Torah scholar. It could be. And therefore, independently, this question is being asked, regardless of her relationship to her husband. Or you could have a woman who is a Torah scholar and her husband's not a Torah scholar. It sometimes happens. A woman could teach in the day school. She's married to someone. She's a Torah scholar, and her husband is not. So do you have to stand for such a woman? So it's brought down in the Sefer, Halacha Yud Aleph, Mitzvah lakum mitnei isha chachma b'chachmat ha-Torah. It is an obligation to stand before a woman who is a knowledgeable woman in the Torah. V'chein mitnei isha zikena kishigia legil shivim. And so too, just like you have to stand up for a woman who's 70 years old, in terms of the halachas of respect for the elderly. So too, we know that from that same verse of mitnei seva takum v'hadarta pnei zakein, that you have to show respect for an elder person, and you have to show respect for a Torah scholar as well. Zakein, zeshekana chokma, ein zakein. There's no one who's called a zakein, it's someone who's acquired wisdom. So be it someone who's older, be it someone who's a Torah scholar, there's a requirement to stand for such an individual. And just like by an older person, you have to stand even for a woman. So too, by a Torah scholar, if she's a woman, you have to stand for her as well. U'mitzvah zu bein ala anashim, bein ala anashim. And this halacha is, says this source, clearly, halacha, be it for men, be it for women. When Nechama Leibowitz walked into the room, I studied with her as did others. So I stood up. If a Torah scholar stands, comes in the room as a woman, who is a righteous person, obviously, so then you stand up for such a woman. He then adds, I don't know why, v'yesha mechayivim lakum gam b'nei eshet chaver. And there are those who say you have to stand up also for an eshet chaver. Even though she's not wise as the Torah scholar himself, she herself is not a Torah scholar. I don't know why he says there are those who obligate. We have proven, I think, sufficiently and shown even halach l'maaseh by Gedolim that you are required to stand up for an eshet chaver. The Gemara said so in Shavuos, and consequently there should be no issue even though he brings it as one. So you have to stand up for a Talmidat Chacham. I'm using the phrase Talmidat Chacham instead of Talmida Chachama, instead of saying a wise student. I'm saying a Talmidat Chacham, the student of someone who is wise, for the following reason, because Rav Kahn, Rosh Yeshiva at YU, once taught us when we were in learning for Smicha, that in his opinion, the female Torah scholar should be called a Talmidat Chacham. He learned that, he said, because a Torah scholar is called Talmid Chacham, the student of the wife, which, by the way, as we well know, indicates what it means to be a Torah scholar. It means someone who's continually learning, who is a disciple of the wise. That that is a Torah scholar. He's a Talmid, and a Talmid of a Chacham, of someone who is a model, of someone you could learn from. And so too, in the plural, pointed out Rav Kahn, we don't say Talmidim Chachamim, that you are a wise disciple or wise disciples, and that wise is an adjective modifying your being a student. We say Talmidei Chachamim with Smichut, which indicates that in the plural it's students of those who are wise, or I guess you could say Talmidei Chacham if you had to, the students of those who are wise, or someone who is wise. So too, it is not describing the scholarship of a person when we say Talmid Chacham, or Talmidat Chachama is incorrect. It is describing that the person is connected to a Chacham. Talmidat Chacham. Or if you meant to say that the woman learned everything from another woman, perhaps you could say Talmida Chachama. Yes, she is the student of someone who is wise, if it's referring to a female. But the thought is that a Torah scholar is someone who's attached to another Torah scholar. And that is what makes him and gives him his status for the fact that he was a part of the Mesorah, and thereby he or her gleaned most of his knowledge from such an individual. So a Talmidat Chacham, one is required to stand for. And the question was asked me by Dr. Roger Selye, one of my balabatim, just like we asked the question about an Eshet Chaver, that one is due to have respect, as we've concluded, for the wife of a Torah scholar, just like he has respect for the Torah scholar himself. So too, is one, he asked, required to stand for the Ish Chavira, for the husband of a Chachama, or a scholar who is a woman, who is not a Torah scholar. In other words, the husband's not a Torah scholar, and his wife is. So just like you have to show in that reverse case respect for the spouse of a Torah scholar, so too, in this case also, the spouse of the Torah scholar is the male, not the female. So am I required to stand, let's say, for a husband who is not a Torah scholar? Let's say he's not a Rasha, but he's not a Torah scholar. Do I have to stand for him because his wife is a Torah scholar, just like Eshet Chaver Kechaver? Interesting question. I do not know how to conclude on this Shaila. Someone wanted to suggest in my shir that since a Torah scholar, so all the kavod is due to him because he's made himself into a Torah scholar, so therefore the woman kind of goes along with the Torah scholar, and she has no obligation herself to be a Torah scholar. She has no obligation to learn Torah. But in case of the situation where it's the woman is the Torah scholar and the man is not, so then this person wanted to argue that that's a bizayon to stand up for the male, for the man, when he is not a Torah scholar and his wife is. So that was his suggestion. I'm not sure about that, because maybe everyone is not made to be a Torah scholar. This man could still be a Shomer Torah and Mitzvahs and learn regularly and go to all Shiurim. But no, he's not a Torah scholar. Not everyone's necessarily made to be a Torah scholar. So it's not like he has done something improper. He's Osik B'Talmud Torah. And therefore, it would seem to me that there is a way to argue, therefore, that just like you have to stand for the wife of the Torah scholar, so too you would have to stand for the husband of a Torah scholar when that Torah scholar is a woman. And finally, we may ask the question, which is brought down the next halacha in Halichot Bat Yisrael. It says in Halacha Yud Gimel, even though a woman is not fit to judge, according to Jewish law, a woman cannot be a judge, still, if she is someone who is an expert in halacha, she would be permitted to therefore give instruction to Paskin Halacha in regards to the laws of those things that are permitted and forbidden. And of course we know in Eretz Yisrael today they have a notion of Yoetzei Halacha, women who are themselves expert in various areas, specifically as well in areas of Hilchot Nida and women's halachas, where they have an expertise, and therefore there have been those who have paskin that indeed they can, I would say with guidance from a Rav, perhaps paskin in these areas. Some may say, I understand they can't paskin in these areas, but I'm saying according to this view, he said they could paskin b'shat atzorech, and in a sense, as Rav Shechter has said many times, just like most Rabbanim, when they paskin, they really aren't paskining. They're really just revealing what they saw in the Mishnah Berurah, the Shulchan Aruch, the Ruch HaShulchan. They're just really being Mare Makom. They're really just showing what these sources say. It's really the books, he said. The Sifrei Torah, the Svarim, they are the poskim in this case. The Rav, for most cases, is just revealing what they say. He's not really posking originally on a Shaila. So here, it probably means that a woman who is knowledgeable in halacha, that's what it means to say, I think. So if she knows the halacha, she knows the halacha. If she's accurate, it's been shown that she's accurate, she has a good memory, and she knows these things, so she's not really acting as a posek, or poseket, halacha. She's in fact just revealing what the halacha is, and she has been shown to be able to do this consistently. So thereby, this would raise the issue that has been raised so greatly in this past year. We are in the year right now of 2010, that women, if they know halacha, if they know Torah, may they be rabbis. And I'm not going to go forward with that discussion, but I'm pointing out that the issue partially is, since women can give horah, as it says here, if they can give instruction in terms of Torah, if they can learn Torah, if those who are there allow those women who are capable and on their own, let's say the Mefarshei Shulchan Aruch say, on their own, despite the question if they can be taught formally Gemara and Torah Shebaal Peh, but on their own, if they learn, as some have said, and then they become motivated to attach themselves to Torah scholars and become great Torah scholars, and we see you have to stand up for them, as we have said, because of their Torah scholarship, just like you have to stand up for a male who's a Talmud Chacham. So if all that is true, what indeed stops us from allowing women to become rabbis? There are issues here, I'm not addressing it now, but yet you see from this clearly what the question is, as you have to stand not only for the Eshet Chaver, but also for the woman who independently, even if she's not married to a Torah scholar, is herself a Torah scholar. Thereby the question indeed becomes one which is germane, and although it has currently been set aside and Gepaskind, if you will, that women cannot be rabbis, I think is one that will continue to be discussed for generations to come.